It's been a while since we heard that print is dead. And as it turned out, print and digital will probably cohabit in the book business for some time yet to come. But in London this week, a BBC reporter has told publishers something even more alarming. Welcome to Copyright Clearance Center's podcast series. I'm Christopher Keneally for Beyond the Book. At the London Book Fair, the message early on was that the book itself may be outdated. Joining me from London with the details is Publishers Weekly senior writer Andrew Albanese. Welcome back to Beyond the Book, Andrew.
Hey there, Chris.
So there's a lot going on there in London right now. Fill us in. You've been off to a pretty big start so far.
Yeah, the London Book Fair 2014 edition is off to a busy start, and you can read all about the goings-on here, of course, on the PW website, including a number of book deals, and there have been quite a few, if not that elusive beast we call the seven-figure deal. And, of course, there has been quite a talk about, what else, digital.
Well, indeed, and there's a lot going on, and you're a busy man there in London, so we are recording this early in the week, early in the book fair itself, and you were at the Digital Minds Conference, which starts things off, and there were a number of professional panels that give us an idea of what the hot topics will be throughout the week.
Yeah, and you know, this year the fair has really done quite a bit of tweaking too, I think it's fair to say. They're definitely reaching out to a more digital crowd here. You know, in addition to the Digital Minds Conference, which I'll get to in a second, this was also the first year of the London Book and Screen Week, which is an effort to draw more media into the book fair. The Digital Zone here in the exhibit hall has been renamed Tech Central, and it's been tweaked a little bit as well. And that's all to sort of reflect the central nature of digital to publishing now, as opposed to being zoned off. As in a digital zone. And this year, there's also an academic publishing section, which has been really interesting. And open access has been sort of a hot topic of discussion here, which is they've couched it as sort of the ultimate disruption in publishing. And there's an author stage that's been really jam-packed with self-publishing talk. But on the professional side, on the professional program, two things have really stood out for me. And the first, which you suggest, has been the strong keynote talks from the Digital Minds Conference. And what was really most interesting to me is that, you know, this year was the most aggressive by far of all the talks. And you can really chart sort of every year, going back 6 years now to the beginning of Digital Minds, how digital thinking and publishing has progressed. At first, there was this sort of wariness and, you know, piracy was the big issue back in 2009 at the first one. And this year, the audience was pretty much implored to think beyond the book. I know you're familiar with that phrase there, Chris. But in particular, Bill Thompson, who is a technology reporter with the BBC, urged publishers not only to go beyond the book, but to go beyond the ebook as well. You know, he criticized the current ebook platforms like the Kindle and the Nook, etc. He called them killing jars that really hold back what we might otherwise do in this internet networked age. And, you know, basically in an effort to control the market. You know, it was really pretty heady stuff for a book fair, especially for the very beginning of a book fair, truth be told. But he basically said, you know, hey, publisher, you know, get over the book. The book is no longer the center of the world. The internet is. But he also said that, you know, shifting the focus from the book doesn't mean that books don't matter, just that other things are possible.
Well, indeed, beyond the book is a good way to put it. And I think that's the point here. It really is true that the book as container seems like an outmoded notion, although the book as a project of writers and publishers may be something that'll be with us for some time to come. A debate that will probably linger throughout the week and into the coming year. There was also a debate on the state of publishing business as it stands today, and my colleague Michael Healy organizes this every year at London Book Fair. It's the great debate. And this year, they argued whether bigger is better.
Yeah, you know, the proposition put forth this year was, is bigger always better? And a team of two sides each debated this and once again was ably moderated, as you say, by Michael Healy, Copyright Clearance Center, and Susan Danziger, who's the organizer of The Publishing Point and the founder of Zigio. You can read my roundup of that talk on the PW website. But, you know, so I have to say there were some high points and some not so high points, but it was an excellent session overall. But we can, I think, just come right out and, you know, state right now that publishing is pretty big on, you know, well, being big, you know, from the consolidation at the top with Penguin Random House to big dominant retailers like Amazon and Barnes and Noble, to big dominating books that sales. I mean, publishing has very much become a hits driven business. Big is kind of the big word in publishing. But at the same time, this is also very much a time of new and ever nimble startups. And the fair has definitely been reaching out and catering to that crowd. And that's why, you know, this talk really sort of nicely captured, this debate really nicely captured, you know, both why a business would want to be big in order to have scale and to be able to, you know, outdo your competitors, and why you'd also want to be small, you know, to move more nimbly and to sort of innovate. But is bigger always better? That was the question that was put before the debate teams here. And for me, they danced around the issue a little bit, but it really depends on who you're talking about. And I'll give you an example that sort of came up. Barnes & Noble. When the chain first launched, you know, it brought more bookstores, more books to consumers. It made more money for authors. And then, arguably, or maybe not arguably, it started to kill indie stores. And publishers began consolidating in response to changes in the book-selling world. So, you know, getting big to a point has its benefits, I'm sure, but there does definitely seem to be a point of diminishing returns and negative effects without question.
Well, indeed, and you know, we couldn't talk to Andrew Albanese without bringing up the Apple eBook case, and we will do that this week, as we're nearly required to do. There have been two developments on that front, and you follow it even from there in London. And beyond that, you've also got some news from France. Tell us about that.
Yeah, this week my ebook, The Battle of 999, was published in France, and I'm actually on my way to Paris for the launch. It is published by a French ebook publisher called Bragelonne, and they mostly publish sci-fi and romance ebooks, but they're one of the very early adopters of ebooks in France. But the publisher last year read the book and got in touch with me, and he, with the ebook scene really heating up in France, he thought it would be great to publish there, and it would be great in a French language edition. So I am grateful to them for that. And I'm off to Paris after London. And back on the home front, as you say, Apple has also made a couple of moves. They have petitioned Judge Denise Koh for a stay of all proceedings in this damages trial. We kind of knew this was coming. But at the very least, Apple also asked that she at least stay the class notification, which she approved last week when she approved the class. Now, more briefs are scheduled to come this week, but Apple's argument is essentially that, hey, we've lost every decision so far in this thing, but we're going to win on appeal. At least one of our appeals has to succeed. So sending out these millions of notices to consumers that Apple was a price fixer, well, that would cause irreparable harm to our reputation. You know, frankly speaking, I find that to be a little bit of a stretch. You know, after all, consumers have already been notified once through the publisher settlements that there was a price fixing issue, and they've already been issued refunds, in fact. So it isn't, and it isn't like the Apple trial and the verdict against them was a secret. It was covered pretty widely in the major media. The legal standard for irreparable harm, I think, is considerably higher than this, you know, arguable reputational hit that Apple might take if notice was to go out. So it is possible that stay could be granted, but I think that the judge has pretty much total confidence in her ruling, and I think she's going to probably move things along and just let the Second Circuit sort the whole thing out once her work is finally done. So, as usual, watch this space.
Certainement, monsieur, we will do that. Is it called the PUM ebook case?
As a matter of fact, it's not. It's La Guerre, as they call it for short over there.
Yes, well, and I believe, I'm trying to recall my own French, but the there is an expression for an ebook. It is livre. Well, I'll have to go look it up, but that's part of the vocabulary you don't typically learn in high school, at least you did not many years ago. Andrew Albanese, senior writer for Publishers Weekly, we wish you very well this week in London, and congratulations, or as they say in France, félicitations for your book coming out there in Paris.
Merci beaucoup. À bientôt.
À bientôt. Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center, a global rights broker for the world's most sought-after materials, including millions of books and ebooks, journals, newspapers, magazines, and blogs, as well as images, movies, and television shows. You can follow us on Twitter, find Beyond the Book on Facebook, and subscribe to the free podcast series on iTunes or at the Copyright Clearance Center website, copyright.com. Just click on Beyond the Book. Our engineer is Jeremy Brisky of Burst Marketing. My name is Christopher Keneally. For all of us at Copyright Clearance Center, thanks for listening to Beyond the Book.